What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are in the holiday / post-holiday season. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. We're broke. Sorry, Christmas comes like a tornado at times, and you're like, please, January, help me. Today's episode, we're going to talk about how to find a biblical counselor. Seriously, did you know the holiday season brings with it more counseling requests? Isn't that interesting? I tell my counselors at church, nobody wants to start counseling during Thanksgiving and Christmas. But what happens is, after the holiday season, after you've had some time off and been together a little bit more, you're reminded that there are some things in your life that need to be addressed. Sometimes this is familial. You have beef with a family member, maybe a spouse, and you're needing to work through some conflict resolution, interpersonal and personal things. Personal things, grief would be an example. The holidays just remind you of that loved one that you don't have anymore. You are reminded of personal bitterness and struggles that you need to address with God's help through His Word. The holidays do bring a reminder that everything is not okay. And for some of us, the holidays are a sweet time of memories. And for others, we don't like them. We look forward to the new year to move on. So however you feel about that, I've never in all of my Transformed episodes given you thoughts to consider about how to find a biblical counselor. And that is important. Where do you go when you're looking for care and biblical counsel, number one? Some of you are going to listen to this episode, and I'm going to challenge you to actually become that biblical counselor that other people can go to. But let me start by saying, where do you go for care? Well, the first place that you go for care is your local church, and you should be in a local church. If you're hearing this right now and you are alien to a local church, that's why your problems are getting so bad. Seriously, it's not magical. There's nothing about the aura of a campus that is soothing you. But what's happening is you don't have God's regular means for care policing up problems in your life. You don't have a men's Bible study that says, hey, man, you shouldn't talk about your wife like that. Or, dude, don't joke like that. Like, that's foolish and perverse joking. Ephesians 5:4. So we're not cool with that. Don't talk like that. You don't have that in your life and your problems get worse. So if you're wondering, where do I go as a first step for care? You need to get engaged in a local church. And if you don't have a way of finding one, let me give you a couple of clues on how to do that. The Master's Seminary has an alumni or alumnus, I forget which one it is, but it's a directory, and it will show you where master's grads are pastoring. That's one tool that I use. I use 9 Marks to help find local churches, those that can sign the covenant of 9 Marks. And I'll also look for ACBC training centers and counselors. Between those three, I can generally find a church in any area. Now, I'm sure in Alaska, there's some random village that doesn't work with, but most of you live in a populated area. So if you're not in a local church, that is step one, where you will receive the one another's. And yet, problems do escalate from being able to just be a life group that's going to help me or a men's Bible study leader is going to help me. Problems escalate, and at times it is helpful to have someone with experience and training in this particular area. The idea is that I want you to say, if that person, your life group shepherd or your men's Bible study leader, if they are willing to help, but they don't necessarily have the resources, I think you bring them along for the journey, but you look for someone that just has a little bit of experience in this area. Can I give you an example of that? You just received the divorce paperwork from your spouse and it was a total surprise to you. Okay, that's a time where I actually might want a little bit more skill, a little bit more expertise. Yeah, like I'm open to that. If I hear that this person was abused as a child, that at times can be a little bit more complicated than what the women's Bible study leader or men's Bible study leader in their good intentions are able to counsel. So this is where we're starting to move into, it would be nice to have a biblical counselor to go to. Somebody with experience would be helpful. Severe depression, divorce, abuse cases. I do want a level of skill and aptitude, and I want to know how they are skilled and how they are capable and how they are apt in that way. So we love our men's Bible study leader, but we're also discerning. Like, he may be well-intended, but he just may simply lack some of the skills. So where are we going to go? That's where biblical counseling really steps into shine. Biblical counseling is a field that is attached to the body of Christ, and it is not divorced from it. It's not separate. Think of the field of biblical counseling as supporting and pushing you and promoting you back into your local church. So if you are looking for a little bit more skilled help, that's where a biblical counselor comes in. Who am I not looking for? When I was thinking through the structure of this episode, would you go to a medical doctor that identifies as a medical doctor, but's not licensed by anybody else to practice medicine?
Well, I don't believe in licensing.
You're like, oh, geez, why do you cough like that? No, I'm good. Thank you. Would you go to a self-promoted nutritionist? They have no training, no education, and they just say they're a nutritionist? No way. I'm out of there, man. Like, keep your witch doctor stuff to yourself. Then I don't know why you would go to a self-identified biblical counselor. There are many people that hang a shingle out and say, I'm a biblical counselor. But as soon as you scratch the surface and say, and yes, who else calls you a biblical counselor? It's like, well, my mom, Terry. Okay, well, hey, look, we appreciate your intentions, but there's no one else ratifying or justifying that you are in fact qualified. So see you later. If that person is not currently in pastoral ministry, I'm also tempted to keep going. So what I don't want to say is never go to your clergy. So many of your clergy pastors, they're not an ACBC certification. They're not a certified biblical counselor, but they are ordained and they are held accountable by a local church, whether that's a Baptistic governance or there's a plurality of elders. There is a body of people, whether a team or a congregation, that are holding them accountable. So if you're going to your pastor, they should be qualified and they also have accountability measures to ensure that they are apt in what they're doing. So I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with a former pastor. I was in pastoral ministry for 25 years and I'll help you. It's like, yeah, but you're not in pastoral ministry anymore. And I'm very hesitant to go to you because I don't know why you're not in pastoral ministry. And I look at your resume and you bounced every 7 years between churches. So I'm good. I'm not going to go to you for biblical counsel. So my exception would be if you're not finding a certified biblical counselor, then find a clergy member, an active clergy member. But if they're a retired, separated veteran, hey, God bless you, and we're thankful for your ministry, but we're going to those that are actually in it now because they have a structure of accountability that certifies them, that endorses them, that holds them accountable, and that shows that they really do have an aptitude in this area. They're not going to last at their church if they don't have an aptitude. So that's who I'm not going to. If this person is not certified, I'm going to keep moving. If you are a self-proclaimed expert in biblical counseling, but you have no certifying organization, I want you listeners, I want you to interpret that like you would a medical doctor who says, I don't need to be licensed by the state to practice medicine. The answer is, yeah, that's true. You don't need to be licensed by the state to practice medicine, but we're not going to go to you as our medical doctor. What am I trying to do here? I'm trying to help provide clarity to who is it that is genuinely trained and willing to help. My small group Bible leader, he actually may be willing to help, but he may not have the necessary training that will allow him to be genuinely helpful. So I am thinking through, you need to have aptitude, you need to have training. I'm going to entrust some very personal, life-shaping details to you, and I want to ensure that you're not just going to ramrod those with a couple of truisms from Scripture and then keep moving with life. So that's how we're thinking. You're being discerning about this. So here is going to be the next step. I know I'm in a local church. Things are nuanced. How do I begin to find that person? That's where I want to pick up with whenever we come back. But the simple answer is going to be, I want you to look at biblicalcounseling.com and the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, ACBC. If you've never heard that phrase, ACBC, the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, they are the standard bearer for certification in biblical counseling. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you more about ACBC and the certification process. We'll be right back.
Back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And as he's talking about finding good biblical counseling, just keep thinking about Dr. John Street's Passions of the Heart. Powerful resource that'll help you understand how to address the deep struggles in your life with biblical wisdom and care. Dr. John Street, Passions of the Heart, available at FortisInstitute.org in the Fortis store. I'm very excited to tell you about some of the things that are happening at the Masters University. Really soon, their Think Biblically conference is going to be taking place. As a matter of fact, it's happening on February 14th and 15th. It's basically getting a TMU education packed into 48 hours. The Think Biblically conference is something that you don't want to miss if you can attend. And get this, TMU just ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation, according to the Wall Street Journal. It's pretty impressive, right? You can see why for yourself at the Think Biblically conference. Find out more about all of the speakers that will be there and grab discounted tickets right now at masters.edu/transformed. And I don't know how much you've listened to all of the Fortis Fellows just yet. You know, we brought together some of the most incredible voices who are committed to helping you stand firm in biblical truth. People like Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Andrew Walker, and others. And it's amazing to see how their different perspectives and styles of teaching are all united in their commitment to the sufficiency of Scripture and how much impact that it's having and will continue to have in the lives of those all over the world. That's why we exist here at Fortis Institute. Our world is nuts. It has absolutely gone bonkers. And so we decided to do something about it. And that's where Fortis Institute came from. We brought together all of these voices and said, look, we're not going to sit down and just watch this happen. We are going to try to do our best to have an impact on this culture, but we can't do it alone. We need you to join us. You know how Dr. Gifford's talking about finding people who give solid biblical guidance? Well, that's exactly what we're doing here with Fortis. We're committed to doing this without compromise, standing firm at a time where there's so many ministries who are getting blown to and fro. Would you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? When you do that, you're helping us bring biblical wisdom to people who desperately need it, and your support could help someone find the biblical counseling they need or help a church develop their counseling ministry. So would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can find out more about what it would look like in your life by visiting FortisInstitute.org right now. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy. I know by now you guys have all subscribed to Fortis News with Jimmy Hicks, right? Like, can I just assume that is fair? I was listening to him this morning. Seriously. Not to spam you with it, but I was listening and he was just giving me synopses about the post-election results, some weird mom that was critiquing her sons for being Trump supporters. What he does is he collates and curates for us so we can hear snippets. And then if you want to learn more, your fellows are going to give you hot takes on some of these current events. So take a look, Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, you need to download Fortis. And then through that, you sign up for free and you're able to get all of these resources. So check it out. It is spelled F-O-R-T-I-S, Fortis. Okay, now back to what we were talking about, how to find a biblical counselor. Things are getting a little bit complicated post-holidays. At times, we're reminded that we need to work on those things. New Year's resolutions remind us that now is the time. And so many of you are thinking about this, like, how do I find a biblical counselor, or how do I refer a person to a biblical counselor? In the last segment, I said, you're not referring to a self-identified biblical counselor. Ain't no way. Not going to happen. So we are looking for active clergy, active pastoral staff member, whatever that is, or we're looking for someone that's certified to be a biblical counselor. The industry standard in biblical counseling certification is ACBC. There is no one that's better. The Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation in Glenside, Pennsylvania, they're all-stars. They're publication all-stars, though. They're not certifying you and vetting you. So if you took a class with CCEF, they haven't observed your counseling, or they haven't tested your theological and counseling abilities. There is one other organization called IABC, but I haven't heard from them in years. I haven't met anyone that's certified by them. If you're talking about an industry standard, it is ACBC. And here is why. With ACBC certification, there's three phases. The first phase is you have to go through training, which means you take courses and you do reading. That reading is somewhere around 1,000 pages, 300 of which has to be theological reading. Then you have to watch 10 hours of counseling, whether in person or via recorded sessions. And once you have done your training, you've completed phase one of three phases, just phase one. So if that's 30 hours of training, 1,000 pages of reading, 10 hours of watching, that ain't happening overnight. Most people, that's a 6 to 9 month process. If you're working a full-time job, you have a life and a family, you are not immediately going to be able to complete that phase one training. So that's phase one. You can do it in a fall, you can do it in a spring or a summer. You get that step going. But here is where ACBC begins to shine. Next, you actually have to complete a 44-ish question exam. And that exam is going to evaluate your theology and your counseling skills. Theology, the basics, bibliology, theology proper. What do you believe about gifts? What would you say to an integrationist counselor who's taking secular psychologies and incorporating them in biblical counseling? What would you do about demonic activity? What would you say to those that want to use medication? Think of your theology as being put on display here. Now, counseling methodology, you're going to be asked about different counseling scenarios. So in phase two, you are tested in what you know. You're not just given the green light because you've taken a class. That is basically where ACBC is going to differentiate between any other biblical counseling organization, because you have to be tested and you have to pass. So if you disagree with key doctrine and you have bad counseling methodology, boom, that's the end of it. And if you're a part of certain churches that have female leadership, that are charismatic to the point of sign gifts being exalted above scripture, you do not qualify to be an ACBC counselor. Read the standards of conduct, read the statement of faith. They're all there for you. Phase three, boom, last one, 50 hours of supervision. So you know that this person has to be observed and supervised through 50 different counseling sessions. So what is ACBC doing? Instructing, testing, and supervising you. If you're fast tracking, you could do that process in a year and a half. But if you're like most people, that's 2 years, maybe a little bit more, because the training takes a while, the writing of the exams takes a while, and then finally the counseling takes a while. But at the end of that, you have a better product because that person has been trained and vet. Who am I looking to as a biblical counselor? Not the self-proclaimed biblical counselor, which has no endorsement from any certifying agency, not the retired pastor or the pastor that bounced around from 7 different churches over 20 years, not him. I'm looking to a certified biblical counselor. These individuals have to have background checks. I think it's biannually every 2 years, and pastoral endorsements every year saying they are a member in good standing. Guys, it ain't gonna get any better than that. So how do I get connected to them? Well, that's where I'm glad you asked. When someone reaches out to me and says, hey, Dr. Gifford, do you know anybody that could counsel this issue or is in this area? A student reached out recently and asked if I knew anybody in Jacksonville, for instance. Then I will say, hey, you need to go to biblicalcounseling.com and look up the certified biblical counselors that are there. And then once you go to biblicalcounseling.com, there's a button that says find a counselor, and you can search based off of geography from where you are, or you can search based off of the type of counseling that you would like to receive. So if you don't have a counselor in your area, there are still Zoom counselors and those that will meet telephonically or via Zoom. So biblicalcounseling.com, find a counselor, and then begin to narrow them down. Okay, now here's the next step, and this is a great problem to have. I think there's still one more level of questions that you should ask. So whenever you are going to that website and you email a biblical counselor and it's John Doe and he's in upstate New York, and we say, hey, John, thanks for allowing me to reach out. I've found you through the biblical counseling website. Are you still receiving counselees? And can you tell me how long you have been counseling? What kind of experience you have? That's my first email to John. And from that, I'm going to learn that John got certified last year and he's just starting this counseling experience. Okay, that's cool. I want to know that. Or I learned John got certified 15 years ago and he counsels intermittently. I want to know that as well. I'm trying to dig at how much experience he has or she has. I just want to know. And if they're a new counselor, then just let me know that. And if you're an experienced counselor, let me know that. If you've been certified for 15 years, but only counseled one person every year, I want to know that. Like, we're just getting at it. A humble biblical counselor will just be straightforward. They're not trying to pick it for you to meet with them. They're just going to be straightforward about their experience. So the next thing I want to know is, have you ever counseled this issue that I'm bringing up? You know, are you familiar with anxiety, depression? What is it that you're reaching out for? And if they're like, oh yeah, yeah, I've done that before. Yeah, I feel comfortable counseling that. Okay, cool. We've got green lights and we're going to see if we can move toward meeting together for counseling. But if they are like, oh, you know what? I've never heard of that, or I've never counseled that personally, but I'd still be willing to meet with you for counseling. Then it's not a no, but it's a, let me see if I can find somebody with experience in this who's thought this through before. So I think you've done yourself a disservice if you're like, hey, my men's Bible study leader was willing to meet with me. And I said no because I wanted to reach out to someone with experience. And then now I find a biblical counselor who doesn't have experience in counseling through divorce, or there's no experience about childhood abuse, and they don't know how to handle those circumstances appropriately. So do ask your biblical counselor what kind of experience they have. And as a biblical counselor, we should all be humble and say, this is my experience. And yeah, maybe I am a good fit, or maybe I'm not a great fit. There are times when I will just simply say, I don't think I am a great fit for you, but I can think of someone else who is a better fit. Obviously, any lady issue that comes up, it's like, man, there's no way I'm a great fit to talk about that. You need to find a female counselor. But I'm not a great fit for adult children and how to minister to your adult children. That's just not a season of life that I'm at. I'm also not becoming a great fit for the younger guys. Think high school and junior high, because now I'm being seen as the old timer and there's younger 20 somethings that are more effective in ministering to high school and junior high than I am. So you're just thinking experience as a biblical counselor is something that we're asking for. So let me give you a key takeaway, or a couple of key takeaways rather. How do you look for a biblical counselor? Well, follow this process. Go to a clergy or go to certified biblical counselors with ACBC and use the website. Don't go to the self-identified biblical counselor, and don't go to the pastor who used to be in ministry or the pastor that was in 7 different churches over 20 years. Those are just red flags to me. And so we're going to do our best to just avoid making problems worse. Last caveat, some of you feel the nudge by the Lord, by your circumstances, the Lord providentially working in your life. Some of you have experienced the joy of receiving comfort through the Word of God. And I would say to you, consider getting trained as a biblical counselor. We need more. In our town, there are 5 or 6 different churches that practice biblical counseling, and there's wait lists everywhere. Everywhere. Many of our biblical counseling ministries don't have enough counselors, and there are people that would love to hear God's Word applied to them, but they don't have an ability to do that because there's a wait list. Would you consider getting trained through this certification process, or consider an institute of higher education like master's? Go get a degree in it and then begin to serve in biblical counseling. We need more biblical counselors. And if that sounds even somewhat interesting to you, check out the website for ACBC, biblicalcounseling.com, and begin to poke at What would it take to get certified? Because we need your help. So I'm going to pray that God would guide you as I finish today's episode. Lord, I do pray for those that are reaching out for counseling, that they would be connected to a solid biblical counselor who knows what they're doing, who's committed to your word, and who will be genuinely helpful. And I pray for that next group of people that they do feel stirred to help, and that lights their fire. And it's exciting to see your word applied to the lives of others. Work in both of those individuals to guide them to your perfect will for their life. And may they be sensitive to following you and being humble before your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.